CBS News Brief. Former President Trump calls today's Supreme Court ruling a big win. The 6-3 decision partially shields him from prosecution for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Former prosecutor Scott Fredrickson.
The court rejected the argument of the former president that he enjoys absolute immunity. The court does say the president is immune from official acts.
Protesters shouted to drown out Steve Bannon's comments today as he surrendered to federal prison in Connecticut.
The most important thing to remember.
Bannon started a 4-month sentence for contempt of Congress for refusing to testify about January 6. And Hurricane Beryl's now causing widespread damage in the Caribbean as a powerful Category 4 storm. CBS's Christian Benavides reports.
The Category 4 storm, packing winds of 150 miles per hour, dumped heavy rain throughout the Windward Islands and Barbados, blowing roofs off homes.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers still aren't saying why an escalator malfunctioned at American Family Field that broke while people were riding it Saturday. 11 people were injured. 6 of them had to go to the hospital. It's not clear exactly what happened or when the escalator might go back in service. Senator Bernie Sanders says he understands Democrats' concerns about President Biden.
But if we are going to protect democracy, if we're going to protect workers' rights, if we're going to deal with climate change, if we're going to deal with women's rights, the choice is absolutely clear.
Sanders, speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front, Sanders gave several speeches around Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, July 2nd, the Southwood County Airport Commission will meet at 8 a.m. at Alexander Field. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee will meet at 5. The Legislative Committee meeting will follow, but will not begin before 6. The McMillan Memorial Library Nominating Committee will meet at 5 at the library. The Village of Port Edwards will have their Finance and Human Resources Committee meeting at 5. The Town of Rome will hold their Community Development Authority meeting at 3. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Downtown Business Improvement District Board meeting will take place at 2:30. The Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30, the Executive Operations Committee at 5, and the Land and Water Conservation Committee at 7. The Village of Whiting will hold their Utilities Committee meeting at 5. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
A Brewers win over the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-1 victory over the Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee. Chicago's Kyle Hendricks had his curveball and changeup working until the fourth when he gave up a home run to Christian Yelich, then 3 consecutive singles, followed by a grand slam by Bryce Terang. I asked Hendricks, was that the worst inning of his career?
I've had a lot of really bad innings. You just sit and you evaluate it for what it was. It was pretty clear to me that there were pitches up over the middle of the plate. So when I'm doing that, you don't give yourself much of a chance anyway.
After giving up a solo home run on the second pitch of the game, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta settled in, retired 14 batters in a row. How did he react to Terang's grand slam?
I get excited and I get emotional in that moment. I said about words that I'm not allowed to say here. But it was great feeling.
The crew opened a series tonight against the Rockies. Racing at Road America, Paul Menard took the checkered flag at the Trans Am event, but was later penalized for illegal contact with another car. He dropped a second, making Brent Cruz the winner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbris joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 1st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. In part one today, we're going to speak with our good friends in the Wisconsin Rapids Community Development Department. We have Kyle Kearns with us, Community Development Director. Kyle, always good to see you.
Hello, thank you for letting us join you today.
And we have Elizabeth Edwardson with us, Lizzie, I believe. I mean, do you prefer Lizzie?
Yeah, Lizzie.
Okay, Lizzie it is. Then Lizzie with us, Associate Planner. And thank you very much for being here with us, Lizzie.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate the time. And we just had Mayor Zacher in the other week talking a little bit about this, the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Master Plan Project. We've talked about this a little bit on the air already, but I thought this was going to be a really good opportunity to dive into this a little bit more for our audience so they understand, Kyle, not only why we're doing this, but the importance of this. Let's start with where this is coming from, where this idea started.
Yeah, so we have an older riverfront plan that's about 15 years old, and most planning plans last about 10 to 15 years. That old plan doesn't include several of the recent development that's happened in downtown, including the mall redevelopment, the county campus, some of the streets that have recently been redeveloped, some of the demolition that's occurred, the new Meadwitter Park and things, which is why over time we like to upgrade or update those plans moving forward. And so we have partnered with the county. The county's assisting funding this, as well as taking some dollars out of our downtown TIF district to fund this. And we've recently kicked it off and hired the consultant, Bolton and Menk, to help us kick the project off. And it'll probably be a 10 to 12 month timeline from start to finish moving forward.
Are there things about the plan that are already kind of developing that you're seeing? Anything becoming a little bit more clear already?
Yeah, so we've kicked off the project in May, end of May, with some focus group meetings. And we've recently, Lizzie and I, have been to both the farmers market and Lunch by the River to solicit additional feedback. We've been hearing a lot from the community about the offerings in downtown, about parking in downtown. I think there are two sides of the parking story. One that says we've got too much parking and one that says we don't have enough parking. But I think just generally the opportunity that exists in both expanding our businesses downtown, and improving our strengths, such as the riverfront and the parks down there.
With these plans, one of the things that we're talking about here is certainly having to update. As you mentioned, starting out here, how do you go about doing something like this where you're doing it? And obviously, the construction. Once we get to the point where we're actually putting shovels in the ground and working on this project, and it's being built, and then we get to the end of it, how do we know that we're at the end of that project and this stuff is still relevant?
Yeah, so we've got a few steps, a few phases in the project. The first phase, what we're doing now is the you know, the community input gathering phase where we're just trying to create a new vision and mission for the downtown. Once we transition from that phase into the next phase, it'll be a data gathering. So this is where the consultant will utilize their expertise to gather a lot of the kind of background data on employment downtown, spending habits downtown and regionally, you know, housing. There'll be different components, transportation, and they'll utilize the month of July and August to really gather that data. And that will then be coupled with the public engagement and feedback to create some preliminary goals and objectives. So they've been asked to focus on a few redevelopment sites in downtown. And when they do that, they'll hone in on like the Triangle property downtown, which is on the east side of the river near the county courthouse. And for example, they'll identify highest and best use. They'll create some mock-ups and some renderings for that site. And then we will be able to utilize that when we solicit private investment. So I can take that to a developer. I can take that to a business owner and say, look at what the site could become. Look at how, right, the steps you'd need to take to develop that site. And then we as the city can offer assistance too in terms of incentives and things to help develop those properties. So that's the ultimate goal, create that vision and mission, and then an implementation plan with goals and objectives at the end of the project.
Lizzie, I would think one of the ways too to keep make sure that everything is relevant and really on point is by something that you and Kyle have been doing and talking to the community and the things that they are looking for. How has that gone for you? How has that process been, talking to community members, finding out what they're looking for out of this project?
It's been good. It's been really fun. It's just nice to hear what people have to say. It's great when people get involved in their community and have their voices heard. So one way we've been encouraging people to do that is on our online Mind Mixer site. So that can be accessed through the city's website. It's just our public engagement tool. We encourage anyone and everyone to participate and give their feedback and ideas. We post new topics every other week. So currently we have 7. Three of those are instant polls, or 4 of them are instant polls, and 3 of them are just idea submissions. So we just got another idea submission up. People can vote, they can submit their ideas, and they can just join in discussions. And anyone who creates an account on MindMixer can have one thought, which isn't tied to any of our topics. So it's just their opportunity to express themselves unprompted. And we have 64 people, active participants on the site right now, and we're hoping to increase that number. It'd be great to see like 100 people in the next month or so. So yeah, just encouraging anyone and everyone to get on the site and join the conversation.
Thank you, Lizzie. It's a great addition to what we're talking about here, not just with this project, but projects going forward, being able to have this interacting. We have an amazing community, and we have so many great individuals that like putting back into that community. We also have a wide range of ages when it comes to our community and influx and influence when it comes to that. So there are going to be people who are going to feel a lot more comfortable, or probably the only way you might hear from them is in person or at a town hall type meeting. And then there's a lot of people that are just more comfortable doing stuff online. They're used to doing it that way. So it's really insightful and appreciated that you all see that you're working. And it's more, for me, more comfort, and just another example of more comfort of, oh, this project's going to be right. This is going to be a good project, because you guys are already showing how you're listening and so in tune with the community, even by the survey taking, just as an example of that, let alone when we finally do get to the project itself. That's something that I think can be encouraging to all of us out there, the way that you are taking in this feedback, let alone what you're doing with the feedback, Kyle.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unfortunately, in today's day and age of technology, the traditional means of holding a public meeting doesn't usually spark too much of a turnout.
Tell me about it.
Now, there are, to your earlier comment, there are still people that want to come out that like to get their information up front. But with regards to our public engagement strategy, you know, we really find it beneficial to get out and try to pursue every opportunity, whether that's TV, radio. So again, thank you for allowing us to be here today, or via online means, right? Out at different events, right? At the farmer's market. So we'll be at the farmer's market one more time, and we'll be at Lunch by the River one more time in July. I don't have those exact dates in front of me, but if you're at those events, look for us, stop by. We've got an activity with a map where we're asking you to assist and kind of pinpointing your favorite locations, downtown, strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities. And we will, again, we will likely move forward with this public engagement component of the plan through the end of July, possibly into August. And then the consultant is going to hold a larger public meeting, possibly at City Hall or the library, in early August. We've not yet identified the date of that meeting, but we will certainly, you know, do a press release or a public hearing notice and stuff for that meeting as it comes up.
When it comes to the ideas, the different thoughts that the community is having, I'm a little curious about those. I think that that's more one of those things that is going to, no pun intended, develop as we go along here. I am interested in hearing from the audience. I do want people to feel free to give us information. We will pass it on to you all out over there. Any way you can get us that, any way you can get you, Kyle and Lizzie, that information, it could really be integral to the future planning of this community. While we respect the consultants and appreciate their time, your opinion out there, everybody, is just as important, if not more important, to our people working here on this really big project. This is something too that is one that, you know, we don't get to do this very often, where we talk about something that literally affects everybody. And everybody can take an impact from. And I think that everybody can take like a bit of a fingerprint on this subject and have something to be said about it, and really make it not just an impact in your community, but a chance to kind of make your be a part of a legacy. I've heard some people talking about this, whether they're board members or just people that have lived in this community their whole lives, when talking about the new jail being put up. And I've never heard excitement about a new jail before. I don't know many people that have. And maybe excitement's not the perfect word for it, but there is actually, I'm going to stick with that, because there's a lot of people who have felt this project should have happened 20 years ago. And they've been waiting and waiting and pushing for this to happen. And here we are, it finally happened. So, and that's a jail. Like, nothing against that. It's a very important part of our society. But think of the excitement that can happen with this, and the people that can feel so good having something that, well, they used my idea. They used, or they had, my idea had something to do with this or something like that. It's something that I can encourage people to get your feedback in. Kyle, Lizzie, they want to hear from you. So whenever there is engagement opportunities, we will be sure to let our audience know about it. Make sure that you guys have a good crowd going forward. I do have to say, I feel like a lot of this is maybe unnecessary. I gave you guys the idea of an adult bouncy house. We just put a gigantic bouncy house down there. Boom, we're done. But we'll revisit that later, maybe. You know, maybe
it's finding the flat ground to make that happen.
Oh, you know, yeah, you're right. Actually, it's probably not a good idea. I'm curious, too, about the consultant group. I wouldn't mind. I encourage people to go ahead and look into them. They do really good work. But as far as... picking a group to do something like this, Kyle, was there a particular reason we chose them? Did they choose us? How did that work?
Yeah, so Bolton and Mink, they're not necessarily local. They're out of the Twin Cities. But we released an RFP. We got a number of responses. I don't remember the total. There were some local responses, regional responses. I think we ultimately went with Bolton and Mink because of the kind of outside experience that they bring, right? I think, you know, regionally it's great to have a consultant, but I think they've already got their... kind of decision made on the community and may have more of a biased approach to the planning effort versus bringing someone from the outside in. And to your earlier comment, you were correct in that they're not going to tell us what's best for our community, but they're the experts in kind of consolidating all the information and then formulating it all and presenting it back to us. After we've provided it, right? And we can also guide, any member of the public can guide the process. We do have an oversight steering committee that's made up of businesses, elected officials, and city staff. So it's not just our department that's leading it. It's part of a bigger oversight committee. The hope is that things wrap up here possibly with a preliminary plan in the fall, and then tweaking things into the winter and having a final plan either by the end of the year or early next year.
Which is very encouraging. Very encouraging. That's exciting to think about that we could be getting, you know, that it's not that far away. And to look ahead to something like that feels really good. I also want to mention when it comes to this company, first off, very proud Midwest company. Really get Midwest understanding and values and a lot of that. They do a lot of good work here in the Midwest with other cities and states and such. So having that come into this, they're coming into it with those kind of eyes, and that's very helpful. And I think it's a great point that you make there, Kyle, because the content of what is going to be filling this area is going to be decided by the people of this area. But the logistics and so many of these other things that you really do want a third party for, some of us are too close to this and can get very emotional about these things and everything. These guys come in and they are not that they are a third party. They are here to help. They are here to assist and give you some guidance logistically, but not at all to tell anybody what to do, but more so help you pull off what you do.
Correct. Yeah. And we also, you know, with a limited staff in our department, we'd have to like close our doors for a week to try to draft the plan in terms of the narrative and the formatting and the, you know, the renderings. We don't have an architectural, staff that could sit down and put those together. So definitely they're providing a good level of expertise to the plan, and we're excited about partnering with them.
We're speaking with Kyle Kearns and Lizzie Edmondson. Am I saying you're Edwardson? Am I saying that right?
No. Edwardson.
Edwardson. Thank you, Liz. Edwardson. You can mess my name up all you want. appreciate the time from both of you. And Kyle, I did want to make some time to talk a little bit about the founder's site that you guys have coming up. There's an important one on July 11th we wanted to touch on.
To shift gears here, the city has also received a grant from the DNR and the EPA to do a site-specific planning. It's called a technical assistance planning grant through the EPA and the DNR. And the focus of this is on the former foundry site. This is off of Goggin Street, off of West Riverview Expressway, right on the edge of downtown. And this this project kicked off around the same timeline as the downtown master plan in early May. And we are having a community workshop on July 11th at City Hall at 6 p.m. to again obtain input and feedback from the neighbors and the community. Lizzie and myself also, over the last couple weeks, have been visiting the neighborhood, sharing these pamphlets with residents that live around the foundry. And again, the hope for this project is to work with a separate consultant, Vida Nueva, to create a area-specific plan for just the foundry site. So this is separate from the downtown master plan. This is just a redevelopment plan for the foundry site that then we can implement over the next couple of years and hopefully see that, you know, that vacant building demolished, the site cleaned up, and new development occurring on site.
Is there anything already in the beginning process of that, as far as is there anything that's looking in that area to take over that area or put in something new over there? Or any feedback yet over there, or just kind of in the beginning process of this?
Yeah, we haven't got a ton of feedback at this point. The hope is that the July 11th meeting at City Hall will kind of be the kickoff meeting for public engagement. The consultant was here on site in early May and met with a few of the focus groups or a few stakeholders, met with the DNR to talk about the site. And again, this is on a similar timeline to the downtown master plan, and I don't want the public to confuse the two, right? We've got the downtown master plan and the foundry site plan that we're coining it. They're both on similar timelines, hoping to wrap up by the fall slash early winter. And this one is pretty exciting because that building has been vacant since 2016 when the fire happened, and it's it was under private ownership. The county now owns it, and the city is looking to ultimately obtain it over the next year or two. So for the neighborhood and the downtown, you can look forward to seeing some things happen there. And like the downtown master plan, we're happy to hear from the public, whether it's at the July 11th workshop or via email or phone call moving forward.
We will talk to Lizzie before we wrap up about the mindmixer.com. But these community opportunities, these town halls, these chances to engage with Kyle, Lizzie, the staff over at the Wisconsin Rapids in our museum, this is an opportunity where you don't want to miss this. If you want to be heard, here are your chances. If you would like to make an impact in your community, here are your opportunities. There is nobody, there is no shortage of people out there who don't have an opinion and have some say about something, whatever we're talking about, whether it is the Founders Site area or the Downtown Master Plan. Our city gives you an opportunity to be heard. We are going to certainly be talking about other events and different opportunities that people have to have themselves be heard, have their voice be heard, as at our morning shows and other places. But I did want to wrap up talking to you, Lizzie, a little bit about the mindmixer.com a little bit, because this is another great opportunity for everybody to be able to have their voices heard. Certainly, as we touched on with the Downtown Grand Master Plan, is this something we'll be able to use for other things as well going forward?
Yeah, certainly we could use the site for other projects. Right now we're just using it for the Downtown Master Plan, but it is a great user-friendly site that is very versatile. For now we encourage anyone and everyone to get on the site. It's pretty easy to set up an account, and we want to hear from as many people as possible. So you can either go to our website, wirapids.org, or you can go to wisconsinrapids.mindmixer.com. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Appreciate it, Lizzie. Thank you. As we're wrapping up, I just want to thank both of you for everything you put into the community, all the work that you do for our community. Appreciate you. Kyle, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
The best way to do so is to email communitydevelopment@wirapids.org, or you can call our number at 715-421-8228.
Lizzie, how about for you? How can people reach you?
Yeah, that same email, or 715-421-8258.
Appreciate you both very much. You did a really good job. You'll have to come back very soon. That is the catch. You will have to come back very soon.
You know, we'd love to, especially as the project wraps up in the fall or winter.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Kyle, because, in all seriousness, we'll be having you on with updates so the community knows. We'll have, as we progress with this these topics, we'll have you guys on more and more and talk about these again real soon. You have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An audit says it's taking longer for the state of Wisconsin Crime Lab to process sexual assault evidence kits. Tests are supposed to be done in 6 months, but the Legislative Audit Bureau says it's taking closer to 9 months.
A U.S. Supreme Court ruling late last week means abortions will still be available in emergencies, at least for now. The case comes from Idaho, where doctors say they're still concerned about the prospect of going to jail.
It's already hard enough to make these critical decisions in the moment. And if you're stuck on, okay, I can go down path A, but I'm not allowed to go down path B, that is very confusing for both clinicians and the patients and the shared decision making that we do.
Dr. Stella Dantas is president of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The bridge is out on County AA in the town of Port Edwards. The heavy rainfall last week undermined the pavement on County AA at Lynn Creek. The Wood County Highway Department has closed the road to all traffic from Grunwald Lane to north of the Lynn Creek Causeway. There's no formal detour, but you can drive around the closure by using County Highways JJ and G and State Highway 173. At this time, they don't know how long the road will be closed. There are still road closed signs up on Wisconsin River Drive at Seneca Road heading into Port Edwards as road construction continues on that stretch. The Wisconsin DOT reminds drivers that these barricades are installed in work zones for the safety of construction crews and the traveling public. The signs imply that you can't get from one end to the other end of a project without coming across construction activities. If you do not have a destination inside the work zone, please follow the detour route. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The band Tenacious D is prepared to hit the road before this year's election. Band members Jack Black and Kyle Gass have announced a 5-show tour between October 21st and 26th, hoping to rock D vote. It's no coincidence that all 5 stops are in swing states as they will hit schools in Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and here in Wisconsin on October 23rd at the Sylvie in Madison. Tickets go on sale June 28th. Do you find it hard keeping up with streamable content? Most people do, and that's why Variety's critics have released a list of 2024's best TV shows so far. Shows that are not to be missed include Netflix's Baby Reindeer and John Mulaney's Everyone is in L.A., Apple TV's Presumed Innocent, Prime Video's Fallout, Max Show's Hacks and Tokyo Vice, AMC's Interview with a Vampire, and Shogun from FX. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter, and check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Todd Albaugh.
Join us next time when Luke Mathers joins us for a Tuesday Tangent. Luke will talk a little sports, talk about the 4th of July and house painting.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Right now, we have in studio with us Roland Hawk, Wood County Highway Commissioner and past president of the Wisconsin Highway Association. We're going to talk with Roland in a second. Our listeners may have noted that Lance Plimble is not with us. Lance is a little busy. He's not able to, but did set this interview up. We want to thank him and his staff for being able to do that because, Roland, I had not heard of you before, but last night I did a deep dive into your career and got very excited to talk with you, sir. One thing I do want to note real quick before I get into your backstory, I think that it's so vital that going forward, we as a society pay much, much more attention to our infrastructure. And any opportunity to talk about that, I appreciate, and you're giving us that avenue. But I also appreciate the work that you have put into our roads and into our infrastructure in your whole career. It's just amazing the work that you've done and some of the groundbreaking stuff that you've done. And no pun intended there. I did not realize what I was saying as I said that. But, you know, it really is some amazing work you've done. I want to get into some of that with you, Roland, if you don't mind. And let's start right there. Tell us a little bit about your backstory, your origin story, if you don't mind.
Sure. I'm originally from Western Pennsylvania. My father was a truck driver, had a trucking business, which got me interested in highways, roads, spent a lot of time traveling with him. When I graduated high school, my goal was to become an engineer. I spent a little time in the service, got an opportunity to come to Wisconsin and work for the Wisconsin DOT as an intern, co-op. Eventually, I graduated college, got a full-time job, spent 15 years with Wisconsin DOT, working both design, construction. Then I stepped out of the DOT and into private, did 8 years of consulting, worked with a couple of firms, some smaller firms, some larger firms, and then an opportunity came about to work with the Wood County Highway Department as the engineer, spent 6 years in the engineering position, and then I've been the highway commissioner now for the last 6 years.
Well, in that experience, being kind of away from public service and in this, the private sector a little bit, coming back to working with the states and everything, what did you learn from that experience?
The experience working with private was fantastic. And what I tell people today is I couldn't do this job if I didn't have those experiences. I couldn't do it well. I'll put it to you that way. My career kind of took me through learning through the DOT's experience, you know, how to define the box, you know, what engineering parameters are. And once you start working for the private industry, their goal is to do things that are more efficient, you know, cost less, you know, find those things that they can get by without having to, you know, spend a lot of dollars making it work. So then I came back to the highway department, and the highway department is it's a smaller scale than DOT. We still got to follow a lot of specifications that are outlined by the feds and the state. But we also get to do a lot of things that, similar to the private industry, we're looking for ways to save money, cut down on, you know, on cost and time and things that just save the residents of Wood County more by being able to do things a little timelier, a little less expensive.
Yeah, you know, and especially in rural communities where you may not have the funds that you normally would in like a big city or some of that, and you certainly don't have the infrastructure to work with as well, those things become even more important decisions in where to, you know, you only got so much budget, you only have so much of the pie, where do we put this, where do we put that? I imagine that scheduling is also a big part of this, of when to do these things and the analytics that go behind that.
Absolutely. We have a... I call it a small budget when you compare it to large counties, but we do a lot of work for our municipalities, so towns and villages. And what we end up doing is we schedule a five-year plan. Projects are started design, you know, 3-4 years in advance. So when we get into the design, or I should say we get to the construction phase, we have windows where we can, you know, do work for municipalities. And that helps us because we've invested in, you know, equipment and trucks, an asphalt plant, you know, all kinds of equipment that, you know, we get to utilize for our local community, save them money as well. And that scheduling of those projects, we work around a very short window when you consider construction season, usually from about the middle of May to the middle of October. A lot of towns want to have their projects completed before school starts, so we're not delaying busing, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it gets challenging. We meet every week. My management team, we meet every week. We talk about every project that's on our list. And we do this with only like 40 people. Our highway department is 40 people. And we accomplish a lot in a short time period. And sometimes we run into issues that, you know, weather helps, you know, like recently the lot of rain we had, it doesn't help, but we react to things as much as we can, and we try not to bite off more than what we can handle.
It's incredible when you think about that, and you give us a number like 40 people like that. That's just incredible. That amount of people get such important and such great work done and accomplish as much as they do. That is really a credit and a tip of the hat to them and your team and everybody that works on this, and all the different things that go, all the different factors that work into that. And you mentioned the weather, and I've always been curious of how well you can. You certainly can't plan for it any more than any of us can. As citizens and everything, but working around that when you do have delays, I always find interesting how you're able to work not only around that, but reschedule things and stay on point. It just speaks again to good people doing good work and sitting back and letting them do that in many ways.
Correct.
You recently were joined by the CBG, and you had the opportunity to visit Elwood County and talk a little bit about DBEs and the recycled asphalt that is going on with a lot of our roads nowadays. I think a lot of us, we certainly pay attention to orange cone season. We certainly pay attention. I can't go down that road because they're working on it. But as far as when that road is up and running, we're just driving over. We're not thinking too much about what's the materials that are made of. This is really interesting to me. When I was telling my mom and dad about it, they were blown up. They're like, really? Well, this is fascinating. Can we talk a little bit about this process or what is going into these roads?
Sure. Wood County is very fortunate that we are one of, I think, 15 counties who have an asphalt plant, meaning that we get to produce our own asphalt. There's a private side that produces asphalt, and they do pretty much similar work as we do. However, when we start looking at our cost and expense of making asphalt, what we do today is we reclaim old pavements. We have our own crushing equipment. And we'll use that equipment to crush old asphalt and we recycle it. So 30% of the asphalt, that the new asphalt we're putting down today, consists of recycled asphalt. So the expense of asphalt today isn't necessarily the amount of aggregates that are going into it. They're obviously expensive, but it's the amount of oil. When I started working for the highway department, we were buying oil at about $350 a ton. And it's only 5% of what makes up an asphalt. So if you take a ton of asphalt, 5% of that mix is the oil. Today, it's closer to $700 a ton. So when we start utilizing recycled asphalts, we're not only getting to recycle aggregates, we're also recycling the oil that's in the old oil or the old pavements that we're reclaiming.
Wow. Which I can only imagine with what we were just talking about before, especially when you don't have a gigantic budget or anything. Every penny counts. That's got to help quite a bit.
It does. It does.
It's also unique, too, with repurposing, with recycling, something we've been talking about and doing since the early 80s, really, even before that, but really hit it home where every home was starting to do it and everything a little bit more going out of the late 80s and 90s. And here is another extension of that where our roads are using recycled materials and that, and saving our communities money along with really creating safe roads.
Correct. And it's also preserving resources. When you start thinking about the amount of aggregate that if you didn't recycle, our mines, our quarries, how much faster they'd be using up our resources.
It really interesting. How long has this been going on?
There's a number of counties that are just now getting into it. Wood County has been recycling asphalts for probably 15 years now.
Okay.
And it saved us a lot of money.
I can imagine. Yeah. That's really good. I really appreciated learning that. I think a lot of us didn't know that beforehand. It's insightful. It's interesting. We're speaking with Roland Hawk, Wood County Highway Commissioner and past president, Wisconsin County Highway Association, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here as well. I want to send a big shout out to them. Encourage you to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, keep up to date with the great work that they are doing. Roland, I wanted to get into a little bit about our traffic situations and how that can be this time of year for people when we're talking closed roads and situations that we don't always run into in everyday life. You had a couple notes about this.
Yes. We try to notify the public well in advance of when projects are going to happen. And unfortunately, you know, people don't always get a chance to attend our meetings or see our Facebook or social media, whatever, to understand that. So some folks, the first time they know about a project, or at least they claim they know about a project, is when we start putting up signs and indicating the road is going to be closed. So we do everything we can to accommodate the local folks. Anybody who has a destination within a project, we do everything we can to make it accessible. However, what happens is you know, we put up signs that say closed to through traffic or local traffic only. And people who don't have a destination within our construction project will often assume that because they live nearby, they're considered local traffic, so they can pass through the construction zone. It's not safe, for one thing. I mean, because our guys are out there trying to do their job, and you know, we're still, you know, people are still passing through. And the thing I'd like to explain to people is that you see that yellow equipment, it's large, it's heavy, and the operator has a hard time seeing around them. And we've had a number of incidents where people will drive right up behind that equipment, expecting the operator to know he's there and let him through. And fortunately, we've not had any, you know, major accidents or incidents, but it's an inconvenience. A lot of times personal property becomes damaged because they're in a work zone. It's just not, you know, it's just not good business to have to stop and let people through. It slows down the process. So what we like to do is we like to provide a detour. Obviously, sometimes that detour is an inconvenience, and people will take the shortest shortcut, or they'll try to skirt through the project. If we can, we'll let people through outside of our hours when we're operating. We'll pull the barricades to a soft closure so people can still get through. But a lot of times it's just not possible. And a lot of times we have to resort to notifying the sheriff's department or the local PD, and they'll come out and make a presence. And usually that will slow it down for a while, but without them being around, the habit continues to come back. So I just like to have people understand that when we put up signs and road closures, if you can stay out of there until we're done, the project will go much faster, and you'll be back to the habit that you've been prior to the construction.
You know, I think we can all agree that, you know, that they can be a bit of a headache sometimes when it comes to it, you know, having to go a different route or anything like that. I would say, not speaking for anybody else, but I do believe a lot of people feel similar. A bigger inconvenience are potholes or not having good roads or not having good workers on those roads. And that's what we could lose if we don't do these things and follow the law quite bluntly. Yes. We need more people to be able to hear this, do these kind of things. It's important not only for these workers and their safety, for you and your safety, but also to get the job done. You know, everybody wants this construction done tomorrow. Everybody does, and including the workers themselves. They want to go on to future projects. They want to have other things on their plate. But it takes time.
It does.
And while infrastructure and roads, whatever it seems like to you, I promise you, there is a lot more detail that goes into that building that road or that infrastructure than we could ever imagine. People like Roland and that know much more about it than we ever will, probably. It's important to keep that in mind. When we're talking about this, we all use these roads. We all need these roads. You know, keeping an eye out, following the rules of the road is the least we can do.
Yeah. And what we're finding today is a lot of folks navigate with their phones. You know, they plug into a Maps app, and sometimes our construction projects don't show up on there to tell them that it's been detoured. We do have access now to an app that will notify the Google Maps program that we do have some projects. It helps when more folks are on that app, and it can, you know, it's a smart app, and it transfers that information as people pass through the area. But a lot of times people don't have the same app, and they'll end up in our work zone and they don't know where to go. All I ask is that if, you know, put your phone down, you see the orange signs, pay attention. There's generally going to be some indication of where that, you know, that detour is and how to get on it so you can stay out of the work zone.
We touch on this in our morning shows and some of our other shows whenever we have the opportunity. So I will take the springboard as you're setting it up there and piggyback off of that with it is orange cone season, and we encourage people to slow down, to keep an eye out for these workers. Even if you don't see a worker, doesn't mean that they're not busy or not doing something. You might not just be able to see them. Slow down. Keep an eye out on those roads. There is nowhere you're going that is worth a risk of hurting one of these individuals just trying to do their job. Just trying to work and really do right by us as a community and take care of our roads and do some good work for us, the whole community. It's the least we can do, again, letting them do their job as safe as possible.
Yes, thank you.
I heard you and Pam talking a little bit before our interview and our pregame a bit, and she noted that you were the reason we have this roundabout in front of our building here and everything. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes. While I was working for Wisconsin DOT, an opportunity came about for me to go to some training. And I had been working with the engineering staff at the time here in the Wisconsin Rapids area on Highway 54 in the 17th intersection here. And it just so happened I was sitting in a class to learn about design of roundabouts. And this opportunity came up. I sketched it up, came back, talked to my supervisor. And there was some folks in the DOT at the time who weren't sure about it yet. Essentially what they said was, if you can get the city to agree to it, then yes, we'll move forward with it. So at the time, Mayor Virginsky was in office, and we went and met with him. He loved the idea, and his staff found out that it was going to be a lot less expensive to construct that or this intersection versus they had several alternatives that included additional lights and other things. And so then we passed the concept on to our design team, and the designers went ahead and designed what we have out here. So I like it. I think it flows very well, and it's reduced the number of crashes in this intersection.
And there's the key part. Like, there's any pushback or anything I ever hear about roundabouts, and I've been hearing it my whole life, a lot of my family's from in Naperville in Illinois, it's pretty much the home of roundabouts. Like, there is a roundabout next to a roundabout next to a roundabout. It just seems like there's a lot of them over there. But I've been hearing about this my whole life, and there are some people that, you know, they just use a roundabout. They don't really think much about it. And then there are, of course, people that bark about them. But I always come back to, with that, the safety issue, because no matter where there's a roundabout, that road beforehand and now with the roundabout is definitely safer. The numbers speak for themselves when it comes to this.
Absolutely.
Do you think that this is something, because I'm curious about this part too, when we're talking about roundabouts, something that is not a new invention, but newer in the industry, as far as, you know, new things come up every 20, 30 years or what have you. We're using recycled materials for our roads. The evolution of this industry and the time that you've been in it, you've had to have seen some pretty interesting things that have come about. I just kind of wanted to touch on that before we let you go today.
A number of things, not just the engineering concepts like a roundabout, but technology. When I started as an engineer, we were drafting by hand. You know, the computers were just, you know, the simple commands and easy line alignments. And today, the technology is, it starts at the surveying. The gentleman or person who goes out and does the surveying has basically a 3D model generated. When they go back and sit down, they plug into their software program, and then you can incorporate your design into that, and the program will help you develop three-dimensional plans. And now that we have that three-dimensional plan, we can download that into another program, and you can pass it on to the contractors or your construction folks, and their equipment using satellite technology can almost grade the road without them. You know, they need to be there to operate it, The technology is there to give them cuts and fills and stuff like that right on the machine.
It's fascinating. It's really interesting. I got to tell you, Roland, you're going to have to come back sometime because I got follow-up questions to that and other things. So really looking forward to talking again sometime. But thank you for the information today. I did want to wrap up a little bit, encouraging people to stop by your office, say hi, maybe ask questions that you might have, follow-up questions out there, you out there listening, or just curious about the industry in general. And be sure to ask Roland, if you stop by his office, about Ben, Big Ben the Bear. I wanted to get that story about Big Ben the Bear. I think we got a little time for it or anything. You've got a big stuffed bear, and I mean a big stuffed bear, in your office there. How did that happen?
It just so happened that I had a bear tag in 2007, and the neighbor that lives by me in Port Edwards has some property in the town of Sherry, offered to let me hunt, and I was just lucky enough to harvest this bear, and it was a very large bear. Had a local taxidermist do a full body mount on it. And I'm, as I mentioned, I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I'm a Steelers fan. And Ben Roethlisberger was a quarterback, and I still love Ben to this day. He was a great quarterback. Yeah. It just happened I nicknamed him Big Ben. And,
that's a perfect. Okay. There we go. Yeah. That's now I see the tie in there. Interestingly enough, this bear is about the size of Ben Roethlisberger. Yes. It's about the size of him. So they're very unique. That is a fitting name for this bear. That's awesome. Thank you for that story. Appreciate that. Really do appreciate the time, Roland. But most importantly, appreciate the work that you're putting into our infrastructure, into our roads and our safety and making sure our families, our friends, everybody is safe on those roads. We appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for the time. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
They can call our office, 715-421-8875. Currently, through our summer, we work a 4-10 schedule, so generally Monday through Thursday. Otherwise, after September, we're back in there 5 days a week, so you can reach us anytime.
Excellent. Again, thank you for the time, Roland.
Okay.
Want to send a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rabbits Community Media as well. Be sure to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, keep up to date with the great work that they are doing over there. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday on Up North News Radio, we'll sort through the wreckage that is our U.S. Supreme Court as they save several major cases for the end of their term.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.